your Rolls Royce, mister. I don't want your pleasure yacht. All I want, just food for my baby, is to me my old job back.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to Progressive News Network. I'm your host, News Director Rick Spezak, and today we've got our special guest from SEIU, Miss Rebecca Wakefield, and also Isabel Sousa Rodriguez, who are going to give us the Tallahassee update. Welcome, Rebecca. Welcome, Isabel.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good, very good.
Great.
I want to welcome you both and ask you to fill us in on the latest shenanigans of those bozos up in Tallahassee.
All right. I'll give you a basic update, and then Isabel is going to talk more about some of the things that FLIC has been involved in the past few weeks. Right now in Tallahassee, we're in the last 2 weeks of the session, which is where things really start to get interesting because, you know, as the time gets closer, the leadership really starts negotiating on the major issues between the House and the Senate. So you have a number of things that are happening. Actually, as we're recording this on a Friday, the House just passed its sweeping overhaul of the pension system, and it is obviously not something that we support. It's basically trying to shift people into 401k-style investment plans if they don't know enough to go for their defined benefit plans, and also extends the vesting period to qualify for pensions from 8 years to 10 years. That went through. They had piggybacked it on another local pension bill, and so it went through the House today. But it's going to go to the Senate, and it's going to have a much more challenging time in the Senate. They're a little bit more skeptical about major overhauls to the pension system, so we're going to attempt to hold them to that perspective. Another issue that was hot in Tallahassee is there's this huge bill called that people are calling the trauma train bill because it was initially a bill that was just for the dealing with trauma centers essentially in Central Florida, but because that was going to go through, a whole bunch of other stuff got tacked onto it, like telemedicine. And for us in Miami, an unfortunate amendment got tacked on there that was aimed directly at our public hospital system down here to essentially take the power of the county commission to negotiate labor contracts at the hospital away from them and give it to the Public Health Trust, which is an appointed board, not an elected board. We are fighting that tooth and nail. And, in fact, a friendly representative tried to put an amendment on today to take that part out, but unfortunately some of the Miami-Dade Republicans didn't support that, so it didn't get taken off the House version. It's now going to go to the Senate, and we're reasonably confident the Senate is not going to pass that, but obviously we'll be fighting that in the next week to make sure that that doesn't happen. It's really a direct anti-labor slap in the face to all the employees that work in the public hospital system down here. On the positive side, there was another issue for Jackson, the public hospital, and a lot of other public hospitals around the state. The state was changing how Medicaid payments were going to be structured and changing who was going to get the money. And essentially it was moving this huge pot of federal money from the safety net hospitals and distributing it more widely to hospitals around the state. But it is a huge disadvantage to counties that where the public taxes themselves to support their hospital systems. And there's matching federal dollars. So by doing this tiering system, it was really taking money away from the public system and giving it more to private hospitals, which is really bad. And in the case of Jackson, they stood to lose something like $140 million So the legislature has fixed that, at least for a year. They're not going to implement tiering until 2015. So we have another year to work on that and try to make that system more equitable. Let's see. There was also
weren't they also trying to change when abortions would be available?
Yes. They, in fact, the Senate is supposed to vote today on a proposal to restrict abortions after the fetus is determined viable, which has passed the House and Senate today being Friday. It's going to be working on that, and I don't know if at this moment they have passed that or not, but we're certainly against that. Really I'd like to turn it over to Isabel to talk about the in-state tuition rates for undocumented students. That's an issue that's had a lot of ups and downs, and I know a lot of students flooded the Capitol recently. And, introduce yourself, tell us about yourself, and then, kind of what's been going on the last few weeks.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm a community organizer with the Florida Immigrant Coalition. I emerged out of the Dreamer movement, undocumented youth who were brought to this country at a young age. I got involved in 2007 with the coalition and eventually was sponsored by my stepmother, and that's really the only way I was able to stay in the country. But we know that every year 65,000 students graduate from high schools without their status, and that means that when they get to the college level, their tuition rates are 3 or 4 times higher, which becomes very prohibitive for their academic aspirations, their career goals. Many of the students that we work with throughout the state of Florida can only afford to take 1 or 2 classes at a time, with jobs on the side trying to save up to continue their education, but then it ends up taking them 7, 8 years to get a 4-year degree. So this issue has been around since 2001. In 2001, the Federal DREAM Act was filed, and states started taking up legislation at a local level to try to address the tuition disparities. So here in Florida, for over a decade, the bill has been filed every year, and there's so much promise for this year because it passed the House of Representatives, it passed 3 committees in the Senate, which it really only needs a minimum of 1 before it can get a final vote. And really the only thing standing in the way of this legislation is President Gates. There are 40 members of the Senate. The bill has 21 co-sponsors. So just with its co-sponsors, it already has a majority vote in the Senate. But Senator Gates, he's opposed to this legislation. He said in February that even though he personally was going to be voting against it, that he was going to allow it to be debated on the Senate floor. He has not stayed true to that promise. He has yet to schedule it. So we have 40 students in Tallahassee right now. There's going to be between 50 to 100 students every day of next week in Tallahassee. They've launched what they call Dream University, where they have an occupation in front of the Senate chamber doors. And they do educational lessons where students, professors from local universities come and do lessons there in front of the chambers. And really, we need folks to get calls into Senator Gates' office. We need him to hold to his word that he's going to allow for there to be a debate next week, and it's going to be the last week of the session, because he's really the only thing standing in the way. So his number is 850-487-5001, and any ways that people can put pressure on him, this is our last chance to make it happen.
Excellent.
Great. Thank you so much. That was really great. Is there a website or anything that people should, you know, if they want to share on Facebook or get more information?
Yeah, I mean, there is information available on the FloridaImmigrant.org. We have a petition set up that if you click on the petition, it actually sends a direct email to Senator Gates. So, yeah, we encourage people to do that.
Great. We'll definitely be with you either in body or in spirit and certainly online and on the phone. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you both. Rebecca, anything final you want to say today?
I think that's it. I think we're just going to try to get through this next week without any major damage to the people of Florida.
That'd be nice.
So,
well, thanks again. Thanks to all the good people from SEIU. And good luck on the education bill.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Here.
That was the good people from SEIU giving us the Tallahassee Report. And here's a little something to our friends in Eastern Europe. And now a little something on net neutrality, which we all need.
Nation, I love the internet, and the internet loves me back. Why else would it offer me so much sex? That's why I was shocked last week when I heard this gossip about the internet from its frenemy, television.
The way we use the internet could change after federal appeals court struck down net neutrality rules.
The fallout over a big decision that may change how the web works and the future of so-called net neutrality.
We could be witnessing the end of the internet as we know it.
Nation, I hope you know what this means because I do not. Maybe the TV knows.
Net neutrality is the idea that broadband internet service providers, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Verizon, and others should treat everything that flows across the internet equally.
Thanks, TV. You see, under net neutrality, every site on the internet has to be equally accessible to the user, whether it be a huge behemoth like Google or some obscure little mom-and-pop site like Bing. But folks, this recent court ruling ends all of that.
Net neutrality advocates say this ruling could also allow internet service providers to slow everything and then charge you extra to allow faster access to a particular site like Amazon.
You might have to pay more for specific websites. There are a million different ways that you might have to pay.
Folks, I will not stand for my content being held hostage for cash. Yeah. Must rise as one against the cable companies and... Folks, I've rethought my position on net neutrality. What I meant to say was, like all Americans, I love my cable company. They add so much to my life. For instance, all the time I get to spend with my family during the 3 minutes it takes for my DVR to process a channel change. And it'll be better. Think about it. Verizon says this ruling allows broadband providers to offer new and innovative services to their customers while allowing more room for innovation and keeping the internet a hub of innovation. See? Net neutrality's only been dead a week and already 3 innovative uses of the word innovation. It used to have to mean something. Folks, I'm so inspired. Folks, I am so inspired by this new paradigm of holding content hostage that I've implemented a few innovations of my own here at the Rapport, such as my new Twofinity phone service, where my employees continue to enjoy unfettered access to the first two digits of any number they dial. Are you on fire? Then just dial 9-1. Need another one? Reasonable charges apply.
And that's Stephen Colbert's take on net neutrality. I urge you, my friends, to listen a little closer. Take a look. There's an excellent essay on net neutrality by John Nichols. So it's an important issue. Check it out. And I hope you join us Sunday, the 27th, for our next Progressive News Network. So thanks again. Rick Spezak, your host. Take care.
And a toi, get out of the closet, out of the horses, and a toi.
Fredonia's gone to war, each native son will grab a gun and run away to war.
At last we're going to, we no longer need to war.
At last the country's gone to war.
It is the country's gone to war.
The country's going to war.
We're going to war.
This is a fact we can't ignore.
We're going to war.
This is a fact we can't ignore. We're going to war.
In case you haven't heard before, I think they think we're going to war. I think they think we're going to war.
We're going to war.
I think they think we're going to war.
We're going to war.
Going to war.
We're going to war.
We're going to war.
Progressive News Network for today. Thanks again. See you Sunday. Progressive News Network. I'm your host, Rick Spezak. Talk to you soon.